Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast, the Listen to What the Man Said edition, as we review what Joe Burrow told reporters at the NFL Scouting Combine on Tuesday. For most people, it put to rest the notion that Burrow does not want to play for the Bengals if he's selected number one overall in the NFL draft. But not everybody. You'll hear what I mean. Plus, at least one NFL draft expert thinks that Tua Tagovailoa is actually the best quarterback prospect in this draft. You'll hear why. All of that is straight ahead, but first, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since America's obsession with the NFL. Perhaps the greatest proof ever of just how much we love the NFL is the fact that the on-field drills at this year's Scouting Combine are moving to prime time. Who needs to watch the new season of Survivor or The Bachelor when you can watch the three-cone drill or the broad jump? You can watch the drills from 4 to 11 Thursday through Saturday, then 2 to 7 on Sunday on the NFL Network. Now, let's get to Joe Burrow. A gigantic media throng gathered around a podium at the Indiana Convention Center on Tuesday to hear from the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And after weeks of hearing speculation that he doesn't want to play in Cincinnati, Bengals fans were eager to hear from Joe Burrow himself. After somebody asked a softball question about his dramatic improvement from his junior year at LSU to his senior year, beat reporter Paul Daner Jr., who covers the Bengals for The Athletic, got right to the topic on everybody's mind when he asked, if the Bengals select you at number one, will you happily report to go play for them?
Yeah, I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
Okay, that put to rest the notion that he'll pull an Eli Manning and refuse to play for Cincinnati. But it still wasn't all that enthusiastic. One question later, Joe was asked if it would be exciting to play in his home state.
Yeah, absolutely. It's two hours, 15 minutes from my house, and I could go home for dinner if I wanted to. Not a lot of pro athletes could get to do that.
All right, that was more encouraging for Bengals fans. About a minute later, Joe was asked if he wanted to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, of course I want to be the first pick. You know, that's every kid's dream. You know, I've worked really, really hard for this opportunity, and I'm blessed to be in this position, and a lot of people helped me get here. So I'm just really excited to be in this place.
Burrow is scheduled to meet with the Bengals on Wednesday. Does he have any concerns about the organization that he hopes to discuss?
You know, we're just going to talk ball, just like every other team. I'm excited to, you know, get to know what their offense looks like, what they see from me, what they see that I can get better. That's something I'm asking all these teams when I'm interviewing with them. What do you think I could get better at? Because I'm always trying to learn, always trying to improve.
So let's review Joe Burrow's comments. He will report to the Bengals if drafted number one overall. It would be exciting to play in his home state of Ohio. Being the number one overall pick is every kid's dream. And he's excited to meet with the Bengals and talk to them about their offense. So what about all these stories suggesting that if you read between the lines in some of his previous interviews, Joe's been hinting that he doesn't want to play in Cincinnati?
You know, the only thing that I've said is I just didn't want to be presumptuous about the pick. And so that's why I've been noncommittal, because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they might not pick me. They might fall in love with someone else. So, they, you know, you guys kind of took that narrative and ran with it. But there has never been anything like that from my end.
You guys took that narrative and ran with it. There's never been anything like that from my end. Case closed, right? Well, not exactly. I watched that news conference on Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Network before arriving in Indianapolis later in the day. And after watching Burrow talk, I continued to watch as Mike Florio and Chris Sims analyzed his comments.
For Joe Burrow to come out at his press conference and say I'm going to submit to the process. Yeah. I'm going to play for whoever picks me. That doesn't mean he wants to play for a given team.
Sure.
He's just accepted the fact that he has to go wherever he's picked, because what's the alternative? You know, if you're the first overall pick, you're not going to say no to $36 million over 4 years fully guaranteed. You're going to go there. That doesn't mean in his heart
that
he's
he
not maybe hoping
right.
that it works out a different way.
Right.
That's two different things altogether.
I'm glad he answered it the way he did. You know, he even tried to say, you know, the one reason I didn't just come out definitively and say, oh, yeah, I want to play for them. He goes, I didn't want to sound presumptuous, like I definitely was going to be the number one pick. So I think at least he silenced some of the murmurs. Now, we're going to get more of a feel for this as we continue to go on, too, because we'll hear, you know, after he meets, after the combine and his representatives get to meet with the Bengals and there starts to get conversations, we'll start to hear some of the rumors about how comfortable maybe he is with the Bengals and so on, and we'll see where it goes from there.
What he said today
doesn't matter.
It does not end this question of whether he hopes deep down they don't take him.
Right.
That is not resolved.
Yeah.
And anybody who says it is resolved, I can understand Bengals fans saying it. People in the media who I would like to think are smart enough to understand the distinction, some of them aren't seeing it. Whether they're doing that on purpose to pander to Bengals fans or not is a different issue. But there are two different questions here.
So there you have it. Joe Burrow apparently did not reveal his innermost thoughts well enough for the guys at Pro Football Talk. But the Bengals director of player personnel, Duke Tobin, was satisfied when he was informed about what Joe Burrow did say.
You know, what our research tells us about Joe Burrow is he's his own man. He's not going to be talked into saying things for other people's benefit. So if that's what he said, that's fantastic. I'm looking forward to getting to know him, getting to meet him through the process. Haven't been able to sit down with him yet, but we've got that on the horizon. So just looking forward to seeing you know, the fit for he and us, and he's certainly an exciting guy to watch on tape. You know, I can talk on and on about the things that he's done. You know, transferring in is not easy. I'm a transfer quarterback. I know the pitfalls of that, and I know how hard it is to have a team buy into you once you get there. And so I know that firsthand, and you know, his story is such a great story of perseverance and dedication, hard work, believing in yourself, and then ultimately winning at the highest level. So it's a great story for everybody.
Duke transferred from Illinois to Colorado before playing pro football in the Arena League. By the way, Bengals.com editor Jeff Hobson reports that Burrow is scheduled to meet with the Bengals coaching staff and front office on Wednesday afternoon. Of course, it's still possible that the Bengals won't select Burrow number one overall. NFL.com draft analyst Bucky Brooks has Burrow going number one to Cincinnati in his latest mock draft, but also recently said that he considers Tua Tagovailoa to be the most talented quarterback in this year's draft. I talked to Bucky about that at the Combine. Naturally, Bengals fans are interested in your opinion of the top quarterbacks in this draft. I saw recently that Tua is your guy, but that's nothing negative against Joe Burrow either.
No, it's nothing negative at all. I think if we're stacking it, I think the difference between a mock draft and rankings is you're trying to look at the talent and the upside. I think Tua has more talent and upside if he plays to his potential in the National Football League. Now, that doesn't mean that Joe Burrow won't be an outstanding player. I think it's a rare instance where you could have two QB1s, two guys that come out and play really, really well. I think the difference between the two is, I'll say it like this, like Tua Tagovailoa reminds me of Drew Brees. He's a quick, decisive thrower. He's deadly accurate. He consistently puts the ball in the strike zone. So he's the left-handed version of Brees. Whereas I see Joe Burrow as a guy who is, I think he's an RPO master. His ball handling, his ability to get the ball out of his hands, his basketball background allows him to be the perfect distributor. And so I would say it's Drew Brees versus Tony Romo. Both guys are successful. Both guys can win. Both guys can do it in their own style. I don't think you can go wrong with either one. It's just a matter of, here's how I want to play on offense. This guy best fits what I want to do.
With Tua's injury and his past, where that is concerned, would that be enough of a deal breaker if you have the number one overall pick?
It could be. I mean, you have to take all those things into consideration. Based on his past history, yeah, it would be a bit of a risk because he has the hip, he has some lower body injuries, he has had some durability concerns, and so that has to factor into the equation. Whereas when you look at Joe Burrow, he has a pretty clean evaluation from what we know on the medical side. And so if that is kind of the deciding factor, yeah, you can see where people would opt for the health consideration over the guy who may have a bit of a checkered history when it comes to the injury situation.
Does Joe's improvement from junior year to senior year raise any red flags in your opinion?
It would worry me a little bit, and that's something that maybe he can kind of answer in the interview process, because you do want to wonder, hey man, your production went up 3.5 times, touchdowns and yards and all that, than your junior year. What was that? Is that a scheme thing? Can that be sustainable? Do you have to play in the scheme that Joe Brady set up? Or is he a guy that can be dropped into any offense and have that kind of success? More importantly, when you're Zach Taylor and you're looking and considering him as the number one, okay, how much of this stuff that they're doing at LSU can we put in our playbook? How can we get him up and going and ready to play right away? Because that's the way of the world now. The way of the world is, hey, we draft a young quarterback, we put him on the field, we put him in an offense that he's very comfortable in, and away we go. Because we got a 5-year window to win the Super Bowl while he's on that rookie deal. How can we get him as many bites at the apple? So it's part of that, looking at Joe Burrow, seeing where he is, what do we need to do to get him going? But, yeah, you have to ask that question. What was the difference? What did you learn from your junior to senior year to allow you to pop like you did on the big stage?
A couple more questions for Bucky Brooks. The strength of this draft is?
It's tough, man. There are a ton of wide receivers that are available that can make plays. But I also think there are plenty of offensive tackles at the top of the board that can come in and start right away. On the defense side of the ball, you have a number of cornerbacks that I would say are B to B-plus level, and that's good enough to be starters. I don't know how many all-pro candidates you have, but you got a lot of corners that, man, middle to the top of the third round that will be drafted, and they will make a ton of plays in this league.
If you're the Bengals, after the first overall pick, what kind of positions are you targeting?
I think it has to be about the offensive line. I think if you're going to make the quarterback the priority, you want to make sure that you put a fortress in front of him. You have good skill players already. You got Joe Mixon, who's a Pro Bowl caliber back. You got Tyler Boyd. You bring back A.J. Green. You got a nice 1-2 punch on the outside. Yeah, you can get a tight end, but if you can fix the offensive line, you get Jonah Williams back, but if you can fix that offensive line, where that offensive line can maul people, then I think you have an opportunity to really see them really kind of make a quick turnaround and get back to being competitive in that division.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I'll be talking to more experts at the Combine for the next episode. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you have a minute, please give it a rating or share a comment. Those 5-star ratings help more Bengals fans find our podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth podcast.